The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good evening, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. Once again, a little question for you here this evening. Okay, if somebody wrongs you, let's pretend like it's someone that does something directly to you or to someone who you love, somebody in your family. If somebody wrongs you, what do you do? What do you do about it? Do you respond or do you react? Now, by respond, I mean to say deliberately, carefully, thoughtfully, in control. And by react, I mean to say impulsively, emotionally, with very little thought. Respond or react. What do you do when somebody sins against you? Now, before we go any further, let's limit the parameters of our imagining, okay? Let's just limit the parameters. I'm not talking about anything that might involve breaking the law or calling the police. I'm not talking about anything that might involve risking somebody else's life or health or safety. But in just ordinary matters, home, school, office, work, most people, don't they? Most people react. They don't respond. They react. They lash out in anger, or they gossip, or they sulk, or they play little passive-aggressive games with their behavior and their words. Most people, it's the easiest thing in the whole world to do. Most people react. Today, our Lord calls us to the very, very difficult task of responding with love. Now, St. Paul tells us all about love. In the second reading, in his letter to the Romans, really, it's an astonishing statement. Did you hear that? Did you hear that second reading? He says, love is the only thing we owe each other. Now, let that one sink in. The only thing that we owe one another is love. That's quite an important statement. We better have a darn good understanding of what the word love means. What does the word love mean? Something to think about. I know a young man, he was dating this young lady. He'd tell her, "I love you." She would respond by saying, "What does that mean?" He was irritated, of course, but it's a darn good question. What does love mean? Most people think love's a feeling, don't they? A flutter of the heart, a set of emotions. The truth of the matter is, love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. It is a decision. Love means you're going to choose to do what's best for somebody else, no matter how difficult or how costly it is to us. That's what love means. And today, brothers and sisters, our Lord calls us to a very, very difficult, very, very costly expression of love. He calls us to correct our brothers and sisters when they're walking down the wrong path. It's a very difficult thing to do. It's difficult because, you know, we don't know how somebody's going to respond when we tell them they're doing something wrong. Don't most people just react rather than respond? Don't most people shoot the messenger So no, nobody wants to be the messenger when they shoot the messenger, right? And we don't know what's going to happen to the relationship after we're finished correcting them. Are they going to be sour to us? Are they going to start playing passive-aggressive games? We don't know whether it's the right time. We don't know whether it's the right words. We better get over our inhibition of correcting one another. We better get over it. First reading from Ezekiel makes it real clear that when we owe somebody injustice to tell them they're on the wrong path, it is a very serious offense to fail to do so. Fact of the matter is, there comes a time in every relationship in which the right thing to do is to tell somebody else that they're doing the wrong thing, no matter how hard it is, because that's what love asks. You know, when you're trying to choose between something that's hard and something that's easy, I try to remember a principle from St. John of the Cross. He says, if you're trying to choose between the right thing, one of your choices is hard, one of your choices is easy, chances are the right thing is the hard choice. Isn't it? So very often the right thing to do is the hard thing to do. So what do we do? Well, our Lord gives us three great steps here in the gospel of exactly what to do when the hour comes to tell somebody else they're walking down a destructive, wrong path. He says, step number one, talk to them deliberately and individually. If that doesn't work, you move on to step number two. You bring one person along with you, maybe two people along with you to say the same thing. If that doesn't work, you move on to the last step. You bring a group together, or as our Lord says, you refer it to the church. Let's talk real briefly about what each one of those three things means in practice, okay? So, somebody does wrong, someone's walking down a wrong, self-destructive path. First thing to do is tell the person directly. Not talk about them behind their back. Not to huddle up with a bunch of other friends and to gossip. Not to sulk in your own private bitterness and to do nothing. Talk to him. Talk to her. Talk to them directly. That's the very first thing we ought to do. What a different world this would be if people took our Lord's advice and, you know, instead of going to social media or the news, just talk to the person directly as your step number one, right? How much better a world it would be if we did that. Because let's be honest, the most often thing we do is talk to everybody except the person who needs to be talked to, right? Talk to everybody else behind their back. Why? Because it's hard. It takes a very, very big measure of humility to correct somebody else. And I mean to correct them in love. And there's always some people, they relish telling other people what to do. But, you know, they do it with all the finesse of a flying mallet. Our Lord is here talking about like the skill of a surgeon's scalpel, right? It's a very hard thing to do. It takes a huge measure of humility. Most people think that humility means thinking that you're the worst. You know what humility really means? Humility really means not thinking about yourself at all. You're so absorbed with what's good for somebody else, you're not thinking about yourself at all. That's a very humble thing to do. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, first thing you do, you sit down, you talk to the person, you state it as clearly and gently and directly as you possibly can. And as we're doing this, couple things to keep in mind. Number one, don't worry so much about what word you're going to say. Very often people, they think to themselves, I can just say, find the right words. This will go better. You try to find the right words. Don't get me wrong. But you know what matters a lot more than finding the right words? It's caring about the person you're talking to. They can tell. You want to know a good way to measure whether or not you're thinking about the other person or not when you're saying these difficult words? Reference how often you use the word I in your conversation. If you're really thinking about somebody else, use that word very, very little. Very, very infrequently. It matters so much more how much we care about somebody else. The second thing is, let's not focus too much on whether or not we're going to be successful. Some people say, well, you know, I don't want to correct or confront this person because it's not going to make any difference. You know, success and failure are God's categories. They're not our categories. Our job is to be faithful. Our job is to do the right thing. Leave success and failure in God's hands and choose what's right to do. You never know. you might just make a difference, or it might be a difference that's made many, many months later. Okay, so you go ahead and you do that, and absolutely nothing comes about as a consequence. What do you do next? Well, Jesus says you bring one person along with you, maybe two. You say the same thing. Put yourself in the position of the person who's being accused. It's a lot harder when there's two people, they're saying the same thing. Reminds me of what Archbishop Fulton Sheen once said. If she's saying it, and he's saying it, and they're saying it about you, you better own it, because it's the truth. And if you try that and it still doesn't work, what do you do? Well, the next step our Lord says is refer it to the church. Now, this means a couple of different things, okay? First thing it means is something in which he's speaking to his apostles in a way he's not really speaking to the general public. For example, when he says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. He's not speaking to the 5,000 that are gathered in the fields. He's talking to his apostles as his representatives in a way that he's not talking to the general public when he says, treat them the way you would treat a Gentile or a tax collector. Now, what does that mean? Well, Gentiles were not admitted to communal prayer in the temple in Jerusalem. Same thing with tax collectors. They were not admitted to the prayer in common with the people in the temple in Jerusalem. And what you find here is actually the biblical roots of what today we call excommunication. Want to know where it comes from? It comes from the Gospel of Matthew. People think that excommunication is this mean action by the church. The truth of the matter is it's a last gasp effort to try to set somebody right when they're on the wrong path. Excommunication. It's actually an effort of mercy. It really, really is. I hear a lot about excommunication. People very often tell the priest about all the people who ought to be excommunicated. And I always tell them, that is the job of your bishop. They've got a deadly heavy burden of responsibility hanging over every one of their necks. The bishops do. This is why we pray for our bishops, ladies and gentlemen. Deadly heavy burden of responsibility. They make the choice as to who's to be excommunicated and who's not. We want to pray for our bishops. Your priest can't do anything about it. That's a decision that's left to management. I'm not in management. I'm in sales. Okay. So you leave that one to your... But here, what does that mean to you and to me? What does that mean? It actually does mean one thing. Jesus says, treat him the way you treat a Gentile or a tax collector. How did Jesus treat Gentiles and tax collectors? Wow. How did he treat them? What did he do? He had dinner with them. He went over to their homes. He tried to keep a line of communication open at all times. And as our Lord does here in the Gospels, we need to do as well. You know, we don't cut people off. We try our very best. And only when all else fails, we just entrust them to prayer. That's why our Lord ends this entire thing by saying, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We entrust them to our prayers. It's a tough message now. This is not an easy one at all to hear. A lot of people think that if you're ever unpleasant, that means that you're being unchristlike. And that's just not the truth, ladies and gentlemen. Christianity does just not reduce to merely being nice. Sometimes love is tough. And if you want to walk a path in life that helps people, that changes their lives, we have to be ready to walk a path of criticism. If I want to change the lives of 100 people, you got to figure at least 10 of those people are going to be upset by what I say. At least 10 of those people. Sometimes we're so averse to criticism that we won't help those 90 people for the sake of the 10 that might have something bad to say about us. Focus on the 90 and go. Because as grateful as we are in our lives for people who help us to feel better, aren't we so much more grateful for those people who help us to be better? A word from our Lord to us in toughest love here today. Our Lord loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you just the way you are. We want to put in our lives deeply the words that we said in our psalm response. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.